The prophet said, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. And it was Christmas Eve 2011. It was my first Christmas Eve as one of the pastors here at Blythewood 5 years ago. And that year, like this one, Christmas Eve fell on a Saturday night. And of course, every Saturday night between November and March, I was serving downstairs at or out of the cold. And this Christmas Eve, some people from church had volunteered to sing. We had the piano set up in the middle of the room. There was a really good spirit in the place. And we had children there from our church, and we were going to be singing carols. I had my guitar on, Christmas tree ornaments hanging from the tuning pegs and so on. People were wearing Santa hats, and we were about to start. All the singers were assembled around the piano, ready to go. And all of a sudden, there was the screeching of chairs being pushed back suddenly, and shouts. And this happens from time to time. Somebody gets bumped, tempers get short, somebody gets disrespected or whatever, and a fight breaks out. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. We know what happens when a fight breaks out downstairs. All attention is drawn to the fight. Everybody goes silent. All eyes are on the fight. Everyone gets nervous because when the fists start flying, who knows where that might end. And sometimes it could end badly. And this was going on this Christmas Eve. And the worst part was, it was a bunch of guys trying to get at one guy. So when somebody was pulled away, somebody else would jump in. And it was just going on and on. Finally, it was broken up. At one point, I leaned down to Rocky from our church. She was playing piano. She was about to play. I said, Rocky, just start playing Silent Night, thinking that that might help. And it didn't help. And I remember standing in front of the kids as the guys were being escorted out, of course, because that's the other result of the fight. People can't stay, and it's not good. Anyway, they were being escorted out, and I was sort of standing in front of the kids, and they were all standing there wide-eyed, and I thought, why tonight of all nights? Why does this have to happen on Christmas Eve? And things went okay. I mean, the kids were all right. Kids are a lot more resilient than we give them credit for, I think, sometimes. And we sang our songs, and the night went on. But later on, friends, I heard a voice, as it were, and I think it was a voice from God, as I was asking that question, why, and praying that prayer, why? And the voice told me, the voice said, I came down into the mess, and you should be in the mess too. I came down into the mess. And we light candles tonight, and at the end of our service, we'll all light our individual candles. And these candles remind us of a very old message. The message is thousands of years old, and it goes like this. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. It goes like this. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I will do, and I will not forsake them. That's good news, those words. We talk a lot about light at Christmas time. If you've heard me, to any extent, you've heard me say something like, I understand why we celebrate Christmas around the shortest day of the year. We need light. I like to put up my lights. I look forward to coming home and seeing them at the end of the day. Sometimes I leave them on all day. I know that's not the best thing, conservation-wise, but I like them to be on when I get home from work. It gives us something to look forward to. The lights that we see around the city give us something to look forward to when darkness comes. And the thing is, friends, you can't have light without darkness. You can't have a homecoming without being away. You can't be found without having been lost. You can't truly know joy until you've known sorrow. And we can try in many ways to distract ourselves in the many ways that we try to distract ourselves from these truths. But none of them work, not for long anyway. And we can't ignore the darkness of loss, of broken relationships, of people we lose, of unmet expectations, of shattered dreams, of living in the middle of a mess. In any one of the myriad ways that we live in a mess. And we don't ignore this. We address it. But we don't wallow in it either. And we don't resign ourselves to it. You see, at Christmas, God came down into the middle of our mess. Quite literally, Jesus was born in a manger. If somebody asked Jesus when he grew up, "Were you born in a barn?" He would answer quite literally, "Yes, I was, actually." He was born into a mess. And stables are messy. And as much as we like to picture docile oxen and docile sheep and so on, they make a mess. And babies make a mess too. They cry. We like to sing the little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. But I'm pretty sure he would be crying at some points, because that's what babies do. And that cry, friends, announced that God had done something new. That baby's cry announced that God had done something new that night. And we like new things, don't we? We like new stuff. I like new music. I like music a lot. At the beginning of each year, I kind of pay attention to what albums are coming out that year. At the end of the year, I like to pay attention to best of lists, to see if I agree with the list, and to see if there was anything that I might have missed. And one of my favorite releases this year was by a band. They're called Group Love. And they had a single. The song was called Welcome to Your Life. And it was written by one of the band members. It was about the birth of their child, actually. This song, Welcome to Your Life. Go look it up if you haven't heard it. Anyway, the hook of the song goes like this. We're back in business, it goes, we're back in business, you're such a big mess, and I love you. You're such a big mess, and I love you. So what does group love have to do with Isaiah? Isaiah said, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. He said, for darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you and his glory will appear over you. His glory, in other words, will appear in the middle of our mess, friends. And we may be in a big mess. We may feel like we are a big mess. And if we don't, know that there are people all around you who do. But that baby's cry so long ago was an announcement, friend, that God loves us. And we acknowledge the darkness, sure. We acknowledge the darkness. We don't ignore it and we don't sugarcoat it. We don't go around pretending that everything is good all the time. And we don't need to either. And you might be saying to me, how can we have peace? How can you have peace, Pastor David, in the midst of whatever mess you're in or I'm in? How can we do that? And the answer is, friends, because God has come down into our mess. God calls us to live in relationship with Him, in communion with Him, in the middle of our mess. And God calls us to get together on a Saturday night. God calls us to get together on a Saturday night and have a meal together. And have a warm place to sleep. God calls us to proclaim what He's done in song, which is what we've been doing, to sing of that holy night, as Beatrice will in a few moments. That holy night when God came to be with us and everything changed. to sing about what Jesus taught, to sing the good news that in Christ's life and death and resurrection and return, which we wait, and we've been talking about waiting all Advent. We've been brought back to God in these things, and we're being brought back to God. And one day, friends, we'll be brought back to God, and we're going to hear a voice saying, "Behold, I'm making all things new." And this is the good news that we proclaim tonight. And in the meantime, which can be pretty mean, we join a long line of people who've lit candles against the darkness. We join a long line of people, friends, who've lit candles against the darkness. One writer calls it holy defiance. I like that too. We light these candles in holy defiance. And this writer puts it like this: with similar holy defiance, hunted Christians in the catacombs maintain their lives of prayer and worship. Black slaves in the antebellum United States sang of Elijah's chariot swinging low to carry them to freedom. Jewish prisoners in concentration camps painted butterflies on the walls of their cell. Dutch Calvinists gathered in defiance of Nazi orders in memorial services honoring their martyrs. And Oscar Romero, with the sights of his assassin's rifles trained upon his heart, raised the host and thus offered both the bread of Christ and his own life as a sacrifice to God. And we light candles, friends, in holy defiance to remember and to look forward to a day. And when that day comes, friends, we won't be talking about darkness anymore. We won't be talking about darkness. God has said in his word, on that day, there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord will be their light. So as we look toward that day in hope, friends, let's light candles. Light a candle against the darkness in holy defiance. Light a candle and be filled with the hope and the peace and the joy and the love that come from knowing Christ, our light. Merry Christmas, everyone. Amen.